In Genesis chapter 28 and the verse 17, Jacob has to say of the place called Bethel, "This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." Our text is related to one of the most remarkable incidents in the life of Jacob, the time when God met him at Bethel, the gate of heaven. The gate of heaven, that is a catching phrase. The Bible mentions in Genesis 7 and verse 11 the windows of heaven. In judgment, the windows of heaven were opened, and it rained on the earth for a period of 40 days and 40 nights. The windows of heaven, we read of them being opened in blessing in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. In response to the tithes being brought in, the Lord said, "I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it." In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, we discover that the door of heaven was opened to John. As for Jacob, this place, Bethel, it became the gate of heaven to his soul. He was now alone. He was far from the home of his affectionate parents. He was fleeing from the face of his incensed and enraged brother Esau, whom he had tricked, deceived out of the family birthright. As Jacob paused in his journey to Paddan Aram, the canopy of heaven was his only roof. The bare earth was his couch. The rugged stone was his pillow. Here the Lord drew near in a dream. It was an unveiling of the gospel to Jacob. This was the great turning point in his life. Bethel was to Jacob what the Damascus Road was to Saul of Tarsus. Here Jacob received forgiveness of sin. Grace abounded to him. He was brought to the gate of heaven. He entered in to a true personal acquaintance with God. God is still the God of Jacob, of sinners. A way, a gospel way, has been made whereby you and I in our sin can be brought nigh to God. And as Jacob came by that way, the true and living way, so you may come this evening in all of your need. First of all, we think here in this passage of the enmity of Jacob. He cuts a lonely figure as he stretches out on the ground for a night's sleep. It's the sleep of a guilty conscience, a conscience and a heart at enmity with God. We can say he's at enmity with God because of the sin of others. His mother, Rebekah, in favoritism to Jacob, planned and promoted the deceptive act in respect to the birthright. She was the one who put the goat skins on her son and sent him in to see his father with the aim of obtaining the blessing. His father sinned in trying to give the blessing to Esau instead of to Jacob. Esau sinned in attempting to get the blessing which did not belong to him and which he had sold years earlier to Jacob. Esau, he added sin to sin in plotting the murder of Jacob. All of these sins, the sins of others, affected Jacob's life. The sins of others affecting us, that all started with Adam in the garden. Romans 5 and verse 12 puts it in this way. Romans 5 and verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. The words are speaking of Adam, of his transgression, of his sin, and how it has affected us all. The Shorter Catechism in question 16 asks, did all mankind fall in Adam's first transgression? And the answer comes back, the covenant being made with Adam, not only for himself, but for his posterity. All mankind descending from him by ordinary generation sinned in him and fell with him in his first transgression. Adam, being a representative person, while he stood, we stood. When he fell, we fell. Adam's sin, it cleaves to us, just as Naaman's leprosy clung to Gehazi. Yes, by one man's transgression, all became sinners. So we think of Jacob being at enmity with God because of the sin of others. But we think of Jacob at enmity with God because of sins that were his own. Jacob deceived his father. We know that he defrauded his brother. We see in his longing for the birthright, we see many sins, covetousness, envy, pride. Jacob cannot lay the blame entirely on others. He is verily guilty himself. And all of us have hearts by nature that are at enmity with the triune, the holy God of heaven. We are estranged from the womb by our own sin. When Jacob brought the venison to Isaac, his father sought an explanation as to how he had obtained it all so quickly. And in Genesis chapter 27 and verse 20, Isaac said to Jacob, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And Jacob responded, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. He understands that the Lord was his father's God, but not his God. He knew the enmity of his heart before God. And what's the outworking of all of this for Jacob? The outworking of it is disappointment. As he arrives in Luz, his hopes are shattered. The scheme which looked so promising lay in ruins. And that is how it is with sin. Oh, it promises so much, but delivers pain instead of pleasure. It brings guilt instead of gain, and horror instead of hope. Sin will always disappoint. Paul put this question in Romans chapter 6 to the believers at Rome. Romans chapter 6 and the verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? He is casting their thoughts back to their ungodly days and ways. And he's asking them the question, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? And the implication is disappointment. There was nothing in their unconverted days that was worthy of the name fruit. Plough iniquity, sow vanity, and you will reap as you have sown. You will reap the same. The outworking is disappointment. The outworking in Jacob's case is death. He is fleeing from home. He's under the sentence of death. Esau has made it so plain in the words of Genesis 27 and verse 41. Genesis 27 and verse 41. Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father had blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. The death sentence has been passed on Jacob. And all are under that sentence. We are reminded in that text in Romans 5. It's the verse 12. By one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We are all under the death sentence. Every community, every village, every hamlet, every town, every city is visited by the hand of death. It's the grim reaper of the harvest of sin. Sin does not bring life, though it is often said to do so. It brings death. Physical death and spiritual death, a final enmity, a final separation from God forever and ever. In the enmity of Jacob, do you see a representation of your own state before God? Is it the case this evening that you're without God and without hope in this world or the world to come? You're living under heaven's displeasure, abiding every day of your life under the wrath of God Oh, wake to your state, to your condition, the enmity of Jacob, and oh, the enmity before God of every heart. But then we'll think about the experience of Jacob. While he slept, God spoke to him in a powerful dream. Chapter 28 of Genesis and the verse 12. He dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. God often spoke through dreams. Nebuchadnezzar had several dreams. Daniel alone could interpret them. Pilate's wife had a dream. It contained a direct message for her husband. There in Matthew chapter 27 and the verse 19, when Pilate sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." The dream had a powerful, a thrusting message for Pilate. We think of this dream of Jacob's then, and notice the places in the dream. In verse 12, the places, earth and heaven, are mentioned. Jacob had promises, we see from verse 4, about the land of Israel, about inheriting the land. But now the dream is speaking to him about heaven. It's a place, a real place. It's where God and the unfallen angels and the glorified saints dwell. The Lord comforting the hearts of his distraught disciples in John chapter 14 and verse 2. He refers to heaven as the Father's house of many mansions. It's that better country. It's the Eden above. In heaven, there are no tears. There's no sea. There's no separation, no pain, no death, no night. It's that house not made with hands. It's the eternal abode of all the Lord's people, blood-washed, redeemed. It's a prepared place for a prepared people. It's not an open house for all comers. Have you made the necessary preparation? Or have you been living ignoring the plea of Amos 4 and verse 12, when the Bible says, "Prepare to meet thy God"? Oh, there needs to be preparation on your part if you would be ready for heaven. There must be preparation. And we think, too, of the picture that this dream gives to Jacob. What a picture it paints before him. If we compare Scripture with Scripture, we get a clear understanding of what the dream is all about. When the Lord was conversing with Nathanael in John chapter 1 and the verse 51, he has this to say: "Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Do you see how the Lord refers to this dream that Jacob had? The latter pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. And do you see how it is set up on earth where we are? And the top of it reaches to heaven where God is. We see in this ladder the deity of Christ. In verse 13, the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac." The Lord reveals himself here as the mighty God. And all that there is in the Godhead of power, might, and wisdom has been his and will be his forever and forever. He is God of very God. But we not only see the deity of Christ, we see the humanity of Christ. For this ladder, it descended from heaven to earth, and the Lord condescended. He came all the way from heaven to earth to save you and I from our sins. On the cross, he made intercession for the transgressors. He poured out his life's blood in his death, and bought a full salvation for all of his people. We see the deity of Christ, the humanity of Christ. We see the mediation of Christ. The ladder spans the whole distance, all the way from earth to heaven. The Lord is the only mediator between God and men, and he bridged the gulf between man and God. Some have the notion that Peter stands at the gate of heaven with the keys in his hand, as if he has the power to admit or refuse whom he will. They cite Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19. When the Lord said to Peter, "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." But we see from Matthew 18 and verse 18 that all the disciples had the same power as Peter. "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." It was through the preaching of the gospel that the disciples had the keys to the gate of heaven. It's only through the power of the shed blood of the Lamb that your sins that have shut heaven against you can be removed, blotted out like a thick cloud. The Lord has said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." The Lord is the gate, the way to heaven. This ladder, it is strong enough to bring all who step by faith unto it to glory. The Lord's bringing many sons to glory. Paul said, "Christ in you, the hope. The meaning is the guarantee of glory. He will not be in glory and leave one of his people behind. It's strong enough to bring every saint to glory. It's long enough. It doesn't fall short as the Tower of Babel did. And it's near enough. It came right down to where Jacob was. And the Lord is near. He is nigh unto all those that call upon him. O safe and happy shelter, O refuge tried and sweet, O thrusting place where heaven's love and heaven's justice meet. As to the patriarch that wondrous dream was given, so seems my Savior's cross to me, a ladder up to heaven. Note that the ladder is set up on earth, not in hell. Once the soul enters hell's destruction, there is no outlet, there is no escape from its conflagration. There is no ladder by which the rich man can soar from hell to Abraham's bosom. There's no ladder by which Judas can leave his own place. This ladder, you must climb it by faith. You must come to the Lord, the gate of heaven, while you're here on earth, in the now and not in eternity. And that brings us to the earnestness of Jacob. We see in verse 18 how Jacob rose up early in the morning. He acted promptly. There was no delay. There, he did not leave the matter till a convenient season, till he reached the end of the journey at Padan Aram. He did not wait a moment longer. His pillows became a pillar as he erected an altar and worshipped the Lord. Luz, verse 19, the place of separation where he was afar off, we see that it became Bethel, the house of God. It became the gate of heaven to his soul. Oh, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Oh, that this evening you would see to your soul's salvation. Oh, that you would obey the gospel. It is time to seek the Lord. Do not wait to rid your soul of one dark blot. To the Lord whose blood can cleanse each spot, may you say with your whole heart, Lord, I come. And him that cometh, the Lord has promised, I will in no wise cast out. Jacob said in verse 21, then shall the Lord be my God. Oh, may you make that same determination. May you flee your sin, flee the wrath to come, and with all earnestness, with all sincerity of heart, may you seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. May the Lord bless his word to every soul. We will sing the invitation hymn 243. 243. sinners Jesus will receive. Sound the word of grace to all who the heavenly pathway leave, all who linger, all who fall. Oh, do not linger, but make haste. Make the Lord your final choice, then all heaven will rejoice. Be in time. If we can be of help to you, do make your need known. Speak to the elders or the Christian you're with in the service. Do not go away rejecting God's offer of mercy. Amen. Father, we know that it is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Oh, we pray that others will take the sinner's place and cry the sinner's prayer, God, be merciful to me. We know that thou dost keep mercy for thousands. Thou dost forgive iniquity, transgression, and sin. Thou dost hate putting away. Thou wilt receive all who come. And we pray, Lord, that in faith and repentance, precious souls will come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Part us with thy blessing, the blessing that maketh rich. We pray will be the portion of each one and keep thy hand upon the witness and testimony here, and perfect all that concerns this congregation. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen.